Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. This week we're excited to introduce to you Camille de Meyer. She has been dreaming of being a writer and has work published in various regional and parenting magazines. When she's not delaying sleep in favour of reading just one more chapter of a great book, she and her husband homeschool their four children and run a real estate office in San Antonio, Texas. Camille also regularly faces her fear to indulge her passion for travel. She's inspired by the concept of sucking the marrow out of life and to that end trains in Taekwondo, buys too many baked goods at the farmer's market and unashamedly belts out Broadway show tunes when the moment strikes. Welcome, Camille.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And we were just talking about the show tune thing. We were just saying that, because I do that too. So tell us a little bit about what you were just saying about your children are doing that too, you say.
Yes, we have three girls and a boy, and the three girls have all followed my footsteps in just regional theater. So I think we have a pretty good bank of show tunes in our head. And so anything that comes up, we've usually got a show tune reference or a literary reference or pop culture, and we love making those connections together.
Oh, does that kind of drive your husband mad? Because my husband didn't do anything with show tunes before, but now he'll say a word, and then I'll jump into a song that starts with that word, and now he's used to it, you know. But is your husband the same?
He's just used to it by now. He's outnumbered. You know, we find, you know, number four was a boy and he's seven. So I think Rob's looking forward to somebody who will follow in his footsteps. But the girls are kind of all mine in that department.
Oh, that's funny. I love it.
That's cool. Yeah. Your youngest will have all kinds of show tunes in his head. His girlfriends will be like, wait a minute, what? What's going on?
I know. You know, having three older sisters, I think that boy is going to be a good husband someday.
Yes, absolutely.
My brother was one of five. There was four girls, three girls and him. And all he wanted to do was be with boys. He joined the army at like 16. He was like, I'm down with the girls. He never went in the bathroom for like 20 years, you know.
Although we haven't had bathrooms, thankfully.
Oh, good. That's great. So tell us a little bit about your background, your journey from real estate agent to author while homeschooling your four children. How do you, first of all, even juggle all that? And tell us a little bit about how that journey went to writing.
I've wanted to write a novel ever since I was 12. It was kind of a bucket list item. I even wrote myself a letter at age 12 to myself at age 22 and said, have you done it yet? I was just not going to let you out there.
That was awesome.
And I'm a pretty driven person. But I did a lot of, you know, little read blog stuff. And my husband always believed I could do the novel, but I thought, you know, I'm busy. I can't do it. And then I read the Twilight series. I was pre-screening it for my girls who were younger at the time. And I went through all four books in a weekend. And I studied Stephanie Myers and found out she had three kids and wrote this series while she was at swim team practice. And I thought, oh, well, you know, she can do it. I can do it. And I started to believe that I could. And so a lot of Dr. Peppers late into the night, and I pounded out a first draft. So,
Wow, that's amazing. And you do understand that, right, KJ? Because you write a little bit like that.
Oh, yeah. I got the piano lessons and gymnastics writing, all those little places that I can sit down and get my laptop out.
I know. It's amazing. I just admire you guys because for me, I am fortunate that I have a space and I get up in the morning and do that. And you guys, you must have the story in your head as you're going along. Is that what you do, Camille? Just sort of have the ideas brimming up and then when the minute you got to sit down, you suddenly type it all out? How would you do that?
I did. As soon as I got the idea in my head, I would think about it all day. And then after dinner was done, my husband was nicely doing the dishes and I stayed up till about 3 or 4 a.m. for 6 hours.
Wow.
That's amazing. Pounding out a first draft. That's not how I'm writing my second one.
Oh, good.
Being more disciplined on this one. But the first time around, I just had this thing in me that had to get out, and I just stuck with it till it was done.
So are you still doing real estate? Do you do real estate in the day and take care of your children, or are you just doing being a writer now?
It's kind of everything, and I'm seeing where all of that lands. But now that I have the second one that I'm working on, I feel like, wow, this is actually a career for me. So I've hired a buyer's agent. I'm hiring another one. So the majority of my buyers are going to this agent now. And so now I'm really just helping my husband with paperwork and going on a few listing appointments. But I'm trying to ease more into writing and a little bit more away from real estate. And the kids, the homeschooling is kind of on autopilot. We've done it for so long that it's easier than it sounds.
Yeah, I homeschool too. How old are your kids?
17, 15, 11, and 7.
Wow. So do you sort of just pass on, here's what you'll be doing this year, because this is what your brother was doing last year? Or yeah, I mean, or when you've got more, sometimes it's better though, because you kind of got almost got like a little classroom experience for them, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, so by the time we're down to the last two, it doesn't matter so much. You know, the two teens have different homeschool programs to match their own personalities, and so I try to not do a cookie cutter thing. So they're really pursuing the things that fit with their personalities, which makes it just less work all the way around when you're doing what you love. So really, I feel like I'm homeschooling just the two younger ones.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, so moving on to something we're all very excited about. You met Paul McCartney and he read your book on stage. Tell us about that experience and how that came about. And you got pictures on Facebook. I was so excited to see. So tell us how that happened. What was that?
Well, my novel was inspired by the song Eleanor Rigby. I couldn't use the names and everything, but at the time I did. I had the character names were a little bit different, and I always had this dream of just getting it to Paul McCartney. I tried reaching his publicist. I tried mailing it to people that I knew him, because I thought, how on earth do you get things to Paul McCartney? And then I found out that he was coming to San Antonio for an unscheduled benefit concert. It was not part of his regular tour. It was at a relatively small venue. Somebody in my family knew it was important to me and got me a ticket. So I went to the concert and I came armed with a manuscript thinking, gosh, I've got to be able to give this to somebody. Yeah, my mom had the great idea to bring a sign, and my sign said, I wrote a book about Eleanor Rigby, may I give you a copy? So if all else failed, I was just going to try to go straight to the man himself. And he ended up playing the song Eleanor Rigby, which I found out later, this was the first tour that he's ever included that song in a set. So that was really a pretty big deal. Wow. And it was kind of a now or never moment. So he finished the song, I unfolded my sign, I held it up just for a few seconds, just long enough for me to say, I see that he saw this. And I folded it right back up. And he went on just about to start the next song, and he took this breath and he said, put his hand out over his eyes and looked into the crowd. He said, did somebody say they wrote a book about Eleanor Rigby? And I raised my hand and he said, and you want to give me a copy? And I said, yes. He said, well, you sure can, baby. I'd love to read it.
Oh,
and he called me up to the stage and I got to hand it to Paul McCartney and myself. And that was after all these years of thinking, I just want to mail it somehow to the guy. But here I was handing it to him in front of all these people.
That is incredible.
It was amazing. And I thought he would just hand it off to a roadie or something, but he actually took it up to the mic and started reading it.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Did he actually read it out or just read it to himself?
No, he read it out loud. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh, Paul McCartney is reading my book to all these people. That was pretty surreal.
Did somebody videotape that for you?
Yes, I do have it. My brother was actually up in a different part of that venue, and he got it on video, as did my aunt, who was down with me a little bit closer. So
awesome.
He video edited it, and I kind of have multiple views.
That is so cool.
What a wonderful experience. And it just proves, you know, if you really, really dream and you really, you know, put it out there, that these things can happen. I mean, what an amazing thing for you. That's wonderful. I love that.
Total believer in that. I don't like any obstacle to stop something I have my eye set on. And I'll
go
as hard as I have to make it happen.
Well, the fact that he never plays that song, too, is almost like it was all meant to be. So cool.
Yeah, I love that, Anna. Yeah, just because I love that. What a great story.
Great.
And are you going to send him a copy when it's done?
Actually, I did. When I was in New York last week, my sister and I found out where he lived, and we tried to drop it off with the doorman. The doorman was very nice. He confirmed that we had the right place, but understandably, he couldn't take it. But he said, but if you mail it, I'll make sure that he gets it. So we did that. We went right out to Staples, and we mailed it. And I know he's on tour right now, so he's probably not even at home. But that's, you know, that's out of my hands. I've done as much as I can with that.
Oh, I think that's amazing. What a wonderful story. So tell us a little bit about the journey of the book itself, because you were actually acquired by Lake Union Publishing, same publisher as me. That's how we got to know each other. So tell me about how the book ended up with them. How did that, you know, story go?
you know, I eventually got an agent after years of trying and all the normal rejections. And every rejection, I just looked at critically at myself and said, what do I need to do to make this better, until I got a yes.
And wow, I love that.
Yeah, and I just made my query letters better and better. And I, at a certain point, I just sat down and said, I'm going to get really serious about this. And I decided to, for whatever reason, I picked the number 6. I was going to query 6 agents at a time and just give everything to that, those 6 query letters. And out of those, I had 2 that were interested. So I, after all these other years of rejection, so I chose the one that I just felt right about. She's a great agent. And then she helped me a little bit on the editing side until she felt like it was ready to send out. And then we had a couple of publishers interested too, one of them being Lake Union. And I just asked for her advice because I just wanted her. I knew that she knew the business and I don't. And she said, this is the one for you. They really do amazing things for their authors. And I thought, okay, that's what she says. I didn't try to micromanage that. I said, okay, she says to go with them, so we're going with them. And it's been fantastic.
Yeah, well, I really like working with them too. So, I think you really made a good choice there. And, of course, they have a great team. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, so I'm really glad for you about that. So, yeah, that's wonderful.
It is. How long ago did that happen? Like, the agent sent it to Lake Union, you got accepted. Like, what is the process then?
I think there was a few months between her sending it out and us getting the actual contract. I think there was a couple of months in between there.
Right, and now it's a book being released really soon. So is that a year process? 6 months? How was the time frame?
For me, it was about a year. I have no idea if that's normal or not. I just know what it was for me. I remember I signed the contract about mid-May of 2015, and it will be out May 31st, 2016.
Wow, okay, that's good. Okay, so your book is called The Memory of Us, and this is the one that is based on the Eleanor Rigby song by the Beatles. Can you give us the premise of the book and a little bit about it?
Sure. The premise is, and I started with the concept of what I was inspired by in the song, which is there's this old priest and this lonely old woman. Those are the two characters in the song that we really know nothing about. And so my imagination just kind of went to, what if they actually knew each other, which you don't know that in the song. What if they knew each other, and what if they had a history? So the premise, working backwards, is that he is an Irish Catholic immigrant who works as a gardener, so not well off at all, but he's studying to be a Catholic priest. And he meets this Protestant, socialite, wealthy young woman, and they fall in love. And so for all sorts of reasons, their religion, their cultures, their economic backgrounds, they shouldn't be together. And so they have a lot of obstacles from the start.
I guess they do. Oh, that's really cool. And it's based in England?
Yes, it's set in Liverpool originally. Just I wanted to kind of give tribute to the song in that way. And it's also very appropriate for the setting because, at least back in the time period that I wrote it, those Catholic-Protestant tensions were very, very real. We were part of something when I was a teenager called the Ulster Project, where some teens from Belfast came over to Denver, and we did a whole summer with these Catholic teens and Protestant teens, and we got a sense to see how those religious differences, which don't really mean much in the U.S., they really meant something over there. And so in the time period, it meant something too. So I was able to draw from that Ulster Project experience to inform my writing and see how much those religious differences really created cultural boundaries. You know, a lot of times they didn't associate with each other, they didn't do business with each other, so it really meant something.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. And yeah, I know I listen to a lot of Irish folk music, and you know, I have the Black and Tans and all this, you know, there's so much history between Ireland and England and Northern Ireland and all that. So to kind of pull some experience from your life into the story, that is a really great premise. And then to pull it in from a Beatles song. I love it. It's a great combination of things.
And I'm a big historic fiction fan. I can't wait to read your book. I have it ready to go. Just waiting for the moment when I have time to read it.
You know,
it looks like it's going to be. And the cover is gorgeous.
They
did a beautiful job of your cover.
Yeah, how did you develop the cover? Give us some tips on it.
Well, I don't know how other publishers work, but Lake Union gives the authors a questionnaire about what they might have in mind. And thankfully, they didn't go with anything that I thought of.
That's hilarious.
It's true. I shudder to think what I might have come up with. And I told them from the get-go, I am not a visual person. I'm a word person. So here's my idea, but feel free to toss it out and do your own. And wisely they did that.
That's
so good. Yeah. So their process was they sent me three concepts of what they had, and I was able to give feedback. I really liked the girl from concept one. I liked the background from concept two. I liked, you know, I asked them to maybe put a vintage type wash over it just so we really solidified the time period on the cover. And they were just amazing to work with on that. That's so I never would have come up with this. I'm so glad to have professionals doing
it. It is gorgeous. And it really pulls you into the story. What is the time period?
It starts in the late 1930s. Oh. And that's when the crux of the story really is, late 1930s into World War II.
Suzanne, we need to tell all little people that chose flapper period, time period is there.
I know, I was just thinking that. And I was thinking, this is my favorite period. I can't wait to read this.
We have a lightning round. We've asked our authors what, if they could travel in time, where would they go? And the last three people we had on said that.
That time period.
So
probably.
We need to tell them.
I think I would probably do that too. I've given some thought to that lately. I think just because my head's been in that time period for the past 6 years, I certainly would want to visit it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to, you were telling us before the program, you're going to Liverpool and Belfast in a couple months. So, you know, it kind of adds to the allure. Let's take you back into that time period as well while you're heading to the place.
And thankfully, there's not a lot that's changed over there architecture-wise. So I think when I go, you'll get that sense of being there, at least in that time.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, there's a joke, you know, in England, 100 years isn't a very long time ago. And in America, 100 miles isn't very far to go. You know, and it's true. And we're complete opposites, you know. That's, but literally, you can. You'll see all of history right there. I think you'll love it.
That is cool.
I love that. I love that about travel. Been to some very ancient places, and it's just humbling. It makes you feel small, kind of like standing in front of an ocean. You just realize your smallness in front of this ancientness, and I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, are you thinking of like a sequel to this? Like, you're going to back to the place where it is. It's a good time to be planting some of those seeds.
It is. There's a couple of semi-minor characters in the book that I've been toying with breaking off and doing their own story. And I wouldn't call it a sequel so much as sort of a parallel story. You find out a little bit more about these two characters. And so I am going to go into Liverpool with that in mind. And I don't know if that would be a future novella, or I don't know what I'll do with that yet. Yeah. But I kind of have an idea in mind, and I want to see how that fleshes out when I'm there.
That's cool. Could be a short story or could be a full novel. I guess maybe once, if you're a pantser, in terms of writing, maybe once you start writing it, it will turn into what it's supposed to be.
Yes, I'm definitely a pantser.
Somehow.
I'm just leaving myself open, basically.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's a great way to go, and to go and enjoy the trip and not have a lot of pressure on you about, like, I need to do whatever.
Yeah.
So to just make it fun, that's great. Okay, so now that you've been in this 6-year journey, you came up with the idea, you've written the story, you got picked up, you know, all the agent stuff, you are getting ready to launch your book at the end of May. Tell us what you're doing for your book launch.
I have a couple of local book signings set up, which I'm really excited and nervous about seeing people in person. I've been pretty aggressive about getting some early copies out to people who would be reviewers, early reviewers. So I've got a lot of reviews up on Goodreads. I've been nurturing that.
Awesome.
I'm learning a lot from Suzanne about social media. I'm kind of
what you do. And she knows her stuff.
So for the past year, I've been trying to have a really good Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook presence and get it out there. But I really love, even with my own launch coming up, I love celebrating other authors' works and launches. I'm every bit as excited for theirs coming out as well. So I feel like they're sort of community launches. And
I know, I love that too.
Love that.
Honestly, one thing I was going to say you should do is pin your book to the top of your Twitter page. Do you know how to do that?
No, I'll have to ask.
Okay, so when you go in, you know, find a great quote or something and a picture of, because the book cover is so gorgeous.
It is.
And then you pin it to the top. And then every time I go to your site or anyone does, they can retweet that with a link to the book.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and it means it's great, because sometimes when I go to authors' pages, I'll scroll all the way through it, and they say they're an author, but I never see a book. And I'm like, wow, if they just pinned it, I would so happily retweet it for them.
I will do that. I'll put that on my
list. I'll need to do that. So, yeah, it's so worth it, because you want to be able to support everybody as much as you can, you know, and I know a lot of people are going to love your book. So we want to get as many people, you know, buying it as possible.
Yeah.
And get you to number one, girl.
That's right. That's right.
Perfect. I meant to tell you, actually, I noticed that you put a post. I wanted to respond to it and I lost it about BuzzFeed. You've got a BuzzFeed?
Oh, yes. That is exciting.
I'm telling you really exciting news about that. We had an author on here, David Esty. How long ago was that, Katie? About a month ago?
That was in, February?
Yeah, and he actually told us that his career took off from a BuzzFeed. He was an indie author. He had one BuzzFeed go out, but his book was similar to, like, Game of Thrones or something.
Twilight,
that's it. And that was the post that got him thousands and thousands of books on. So I'm hoping the same thing for you, you know?
I hope so. That was really unexpected. But Lake Union has me with BookSparks, and I know that they've been trying to pursue some of that media. But when it popped up, that was a total surprise for me. And so the theme of that one was 7 tragically romantic reads this spring.
Ooh.
And so not only did they pick me, though, they put me in the number one slot, which was amazing.
Oh, that's going to be great for you, Camille. So when does that come out? Do you know?
Oh, it's already out. I put the link out already. So it's on my Twitter. And
okay, so I'll definitely, that would be a really good one to put to the top of your Twitter feed.
Okay.
And I'll go retweet that one, because that's going to get you lots of action, lots of people buying that. So
and they listed Nora Roberts was the number 2 on there.
Nora Roberts.
That was God, you bumped her out.
Go, girl. We got Paul McCartney over here, Nora Roberts over there.
Oh, my goodness.
The interesting thing was there was a pre-reviewer that I don't even know, and that's what's really fun is when sources that you don't know who they are or how they got your book start commenting on it or reviewing it, but somebody had made like a Canva, you know, a picture about it. They created a picture and pulled out her favorite quote and tweeted it. And all of a sudden I get this notification that somebody tweeted her favorite quote in my book. And I go, that's so neat.
Yeah, those are great. I actually had a fan, a wonderful young lady who's read my book. She actually did a whole bunch of them for me. They look so beautiful. And so they are really eye-catching, and people love retweeting them because it's not just a, you know, piece, but it actually has a quote and you can see what it's about. And so, yeah, definitely do that.
Instead of having your 140 character limit, you could put it in the picture and have, you know, 30 words, and then you tweet that piece out. It's an image, and not, you're not taking up your word count on Twitter. So
I've just discovered that. I've put a couple of those out there, but it was just exciting to see one come back to me.
Yes.
And that's not even be out yet. So to see what, and I see what fans do for other authors, and I know that's probably coming my way. And I'm really excited about that. And I love that the internet allows this interaction between readers and writers.
Yeah, I do too.
It's huge.
I love that as a reader as well. I have friends on Facebook now that are just writing idols to me. And, you know, I'll run around the house and tell the kids, guess who just friended me?
That's cute.
I get very fangirlish about that.
Well, wait till it's released, because as gorgeous as the cover is and as good as this story sounds, and then you've got the whole Beatles connection. I mean, your hashtag Beatles brings in a whole bunch of other
people. Yeah, you should definitely hashtag Beatles. You know that name?
Yes, I need to start with that one.
Good, yeah. So when it comes out, that's when, like, the mass public is going to actually have read your book and, you know, understand what's going on with it. So that, I mean, I'm excited for you. That's such a cool moment. And I think this will air right around the time you release. So everybody go check it out. Why don't you give them your website real quick? We'll have it on our show notes, but just so they can hear it and go check out what you've got going on.
Sure. My website is www.CamilleDiMaio.com. And DiMaio is D-I-M-A-I-O. There's lots of vowels in there, but CamilleDiMaio.com.
Cool. Is that Italian?
It's a great name. It's very authorish.
It is. Is it Italian?
I have one of Camille DiMaio's books over here. I mean, it sounds like, you know, that you should be an author with a name like that. So,
yeah.
I married into a good last name. I'm using a married name.
That's the reason you married, so you could have a good author name. That was a good plan.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. What was I thinking?
It's actually not far from the truth. No, well, really, I have to digress and tell you this, because it is actually a true thing. My maiden name is German, so it's a very hard sounding last name. But my other half, I am half Italian, half German. I just have the German last name maiden wise. But I had a friend in high school whose last name was Di Gregorio, and I thought, oh, what a gorgeous last name. And I actually told a friend of mine, someday I want my last name to be Di something.
Ah.
And I was an intern in Washington, D.C., and the house mom was telling us the names of the upcoming interns that would be joining our group in the following week. And she listed this name of somebody named Rob DeMaio. And I went, oh, I like his last name.
That is ambitious. So,
does he know this story? He's not like peeling over in the kitchen listening to this, is he?
No, he knows the story. He knows the story that, you know, I was first interested in his last name, but thankfully I really, really liked him.
The rest of
us. That was nice. Because, you know, it could have gone both ways, right?
Yeah.
It could have been, and I'm definitely not so shallow as to marrying him just for his name, but it did pique my interest early on, and so, so I ended up with a good last name.
Good job. Good,
fabulous. Lovely.
Good planning. She's so ambitious that she chose her husband's name before.
Right.
I love it. Now, Camille, tell us what your writing process is. Do you have a certain, you know, method that you use or a place that you write or a time of day or whatever?
I use whenever and wherever it's quiet, which when you work from home and homeschool your four kids, that's very few and far between. So I'm actually trying to find that process right now. My goal is 1,000 words a day, which I'm mostly hitting, but it's kind of sporadic when and where that is. Sometimes it's in the early morning, sometimes it's late at night, just whenever I feel like everything else is cleared out of my head and I can give it to that. I think I might start going to coffee houses soon, but my husband's really supportive. He's always pushing me, you know, get your words done. And so I have lots of support to do it. Good. I just need to continue to commit to that.
Yeah, that's
imagine hard. With all that scattered energy, a lot going on in the house, that can be challenging just to get into your story.
It is.
But I think the more I make it a habit, the easier it will be. I just got the new book deal a few weeks ago, and I think I just needed that to happen to help me recommit to that.
Is that what you're working on right now, is your new book?
Yes.
And can you tell us anything about that, or is that still under wraps?
No, it's not really under wraps. It's very different from the first one. This one is set in Texas, so something I know a little bit more about. And it goes between every other chapter is in the 1940s and in the current time period. Ooh. And I haven't really worked out a blurb yet, but it involves a mysterious portrait, a woman accused of murdering her sister, and two modern day people who are trying to figure out the truth and all that.
Ooh, wow, nice. I love that.
Cool.
So we'll see where it goes. I'm at 50,000 words so far.
Good for you. Yeah, and so you're like in the thick of it. It's a good time to get like your writing habit down and to dream, you know, to get in there and finish that book. That's exciting.
It is. So I'm really committed to that now. I'm turning it in by July. So I gave myself a pretty short deadline. Yeah. I work better that way. But I have book number 3 starting to be, I'm plotting it in my head. I haven't put much on paper yet, but I'm really excited about what I'll do with that too, which will be a historical book set in New York. So my head's kind of in both places.
Wow,
I need to commit to this
one. That's good though. Wow. Yeah, you're scattered in a lot of different directions. I like that. It's all creative, fun stuff too.
Yeah.
Tell us about your social media strategy. What are you doing there currently? What is it you hope to do in the future? What do you struggle with? That kind of details.
My social media strategy has really been to build community more than anything. That's what I've been trying to work on this past year. So I've been trying to support a lot of other authors. I try on my personal Facebook page to not say anything about the book more than once a week because I really don't like Facebook being all about advertising or self-promotion. So I love just putting personal things in Facebook. And then about once a week, I'll say something about the book. Now, a lot of other people are tagging me with things about the book. So that shows up more.
Yeah, that happens. Have you got an author page? Because I'm the same as you. I try not to put too much in my own personal page. But I actually don't have any problem doing that with my author page because that's what it's there for. Do you have an author page?
I do have an author page, and I need to get a little bit better about posting on that. I post a lot of other authors' book giveaways and things like that. So again, I don't like to make it all about me, but I'm going to get a little bit more active on that one. And I feel like, hey, if you signed up for my author page, you know what you're going to get.
Exactly. And that's why I hurry over there. I'm the same as you there because I have a lot of friends on Facebook that I don't, you know, they've all read the book. They're done, you know. They don't need to hear about it every day.
So that's kind of my Facebook strategy. I'm really loving Instagram. My teens have advised me which platforms I should be on. And I've gotten other platforms that, no, that's not a good platform, Mom. No, you don't need that one. You do need to be on Instagram. So I started that one a while ago, and I really like that platform, even just personally. I like it a lot. And finding my way with Twitter, I'm happy with where I've been growing with that. So I just want to get better at all of those, but I want it. I guess my strategy is I just want it to be authentic. I don't want it to always be just promotional.
Yeah, that's good. And that works a lot better. I mean, people are interested in you as the person, and that then sells your brand. You know, that's what we keep hearing. So,
yeah.
Awesome. Well, very good interview. I'm very excited now to lightning round you, because we always find out these little kernels of hidden information. Are you familiar with our lightning round?
I am. Okay. I enjoy those.
Okay. Well, good. Let's do you then. Have you been practicing? You don't have like set answers or anything, do you?
No, I just erased any previous things from my head. So
good.
I can just be
good.
She's got four children and she's working two books in her head. She hasn't got room for the lightning round.
That's right. She probably is good on the fly from all these things I hear. Okay. So let's do it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite band or artist?
Depeche Mode.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say the Beatles.
The Beatles are probably number two, but I discovered Depeche Mode in my teens.
Are they British Depeche Mode? Are they from England?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I have a thing for British bands. I could stop a lot more than that, but yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, cool. There. All right, left coast or right coast?
Right coast.
Yeah, me too. What is your favorite writing spot?
By the ocean or anywhere by water.
Oh, man, you get to do that?
No, I live in Texas, so not
I was going to say, please tell me how.
Yeah, I was going to say, not much water close to Texas.
Well, there's
when I am by water, I try to get a lot of writing done.
Yeah, there you go. I would be the same way, except for that I would probably more likely be in the water if I was near it, because I'm landlocked. Okay. Are you a pantser or a plotter? You mentioned this already.
I am a pantser. I've just, in my personal life too, I just like to see where every day is going to take me. And my writing is like that too.
Cool. I like that. If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
I think right now I would want to go visit the, you know, late 1930s, early 40s and see what I got right and what I got wrong.
Yeah. And you would go to England or Ireland or?
I would probably, actually, I'd like to see New York in that time period. I love New York. I spend a lot of time there, and I would love to see New York in a different era.
Ah, that would be really cool. A smaller, gentler New York.
Yeah,
absolutely. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be? And I think you already have a superpower because you're a mom of four homeschooling, working full time and writing. So, but a different superpower.
I'm a Star Trek fan, so if I could have a transporter, that would be awesome.
That is cool.
I love to travel. I hate to fly.
There you go.
So I love to travel just a little bit more than I hate to fly. So that's how that ends up working out.
Oh, wow. You're going to need some Xanax for your trip to Ireland.
You know, I do word games. I distract myself with word games and logic problems during takeoffs and landings and turbulence.
You'll be good then.
Yeah.
Who or what inspires you?
Joy inspires me. When you meet somebody who just has really authentic joy, I love to learn what lights them up. And so, yeah, that's inspiring.
That is a great answer. I love that. I just need to soak that in for a second. Most people, you know, it's something about writing or whatever. Yours is just the happiness of the world. I love it.
It is. You know, I love all sorts of different people. So I just love to see what makes them tick and learn about that. And, you know, joy is infectious. And I love it.
Well, you know, that makes me think about your writing then. I bet that you have a lot of that in your books.
You know, my first draft of this book was very me, and I'm a very joyful person. And a good friend read an early draft. He said, you know, this is great, but you need to make it darker and deeper. And I didn't know, you know, I mean, I've had my own life experiences, but I don't absorb much. I just move on and I get past things pretty easily. But it was literally days after he made this comment that somebody in my family committed suicide.
Oh, no.
And that was a brand new level of emotion for me. And I took that and I wrote it. It was a driving emotion in this book. So this book definitely has a depth that it did not have in the first draft because I had to quiet the joy and bring something deeper into it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you, but it sounds like you handled it well and used it, you know, to help, you know, some of that is therapy too, getting out some of those emotions. So
it was
dual purpose, a better book and, you know, helping yourself. So that's very interesting. Which book do you wish you had written?
It's called Olivia and Jay by Rebecca Ryman, and nobody ever has heard of it when I mention it, but it still has not been dethroned as my favorite book ever, and it involves everything. There is love, there's cultural differences, history, business, revenge, everything is in this book, and when I found out that it was this author's debut novel, I just checked out. I said, forget it, I am never writing a book, because if this is her first, I don't have a prayer. So thankfully, a lot of years went by, and I decided to give it a go, but that book is just exceptional on every level.
Wow, that is very interesting. What is your favorite writing author moment so far?
Well, besides the Paul McCartney thing, that one has to just be number one. I'm kind of more as the fangirl side. I got to meet my favorite author, who is Kate Morton. I got to meet her early this year.
Oh, I love Kate Morton. She's my favorite author, too.
She's
here? Because isn't she from Australia or somewhere?
She's from Australia, and I found out she'd be in Houston, which is about 3.5 hours away from me. But I got up early in the morning. I drove to Houston. I met her and drove back. I was there for like 20 minutes, but it was so worth it. Because I got to tell her that she inspired my writing. I love her beautiful words, and somebody actually compared my writing to hers once, and I was just floored because I think she's amazing. So that was my favorite experience, is getting to go tell somebody that you've inspired them. Was awesome to me to be able to say that.
That's wonderful. And I actually thought her last book was exceptional. I really, really enjoyed the last book.
It really was, and that's the one she was doing the signing for. I bought a new copy there at the bookstore to have her sign, but the copy I'd already read was full of bathwater and spaghetti sauce and chocolate. I love the book.
Life.
You love it. I really love it.
And I brought her that one as well, and I was kind of embarrassed to give it to her, but she said that those are her favorites. She said people always apologize for bringing books, but she says, oh, that means they loved it. The tattier, the better.
Tattier. Oh, that's so pretty.
That's a really bad Australian accent.
That's funny.
But she loved that I brought my horrible copy as well.
That is cool. Yeah, it does mean a lot to an author. I would be thrilled to see somebody torn up the stealing time copy, you know? That's exciting.
I agree.
Well, maybe that'll happen to you at one of your signings. Of course, you'll have to be out for more than a month for that to happen, but
Somebody just told me she read it in one sitting, and it's 413 pages.
Wow.
I was impressed.
I'm trying to picture what that day looks like. They don't have 4 kids, I tell you that much.
That's true.
All right, last question. One thing you wish you had been told about being a writer?
Oh, gosh. You caught me on this one. More about the craft. I feel like I sort of flew by the seat of my pants. I wish earlier on I had known more about craft, because that is what took so long to get it where it is. So if people had, not that people had to tell me, I just had to go seek it. I wish I had studied that earlier on rather than just write from my heart.
Yeah, but
maybe
you know what?
But I would have liked to know that too.
Yeah, you're a pantser though. Would you have had the patience to sit and read all the craft without dumping yourself into the environment of writing it? Sometimes the learning on the job is, for a pantser especially, it's way more fun.
It worked out the way it was meant to. Yeah. But looking back, I realize how naively I made certain choices. And, you know, I guess if I could save myself from some of that, I might have saved myself a few drafts.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But it's also, you know, it's stuck deeper in your psyche now that you've learned it through working it, as opposed to someone telling you what to do.
And I do think being a great reader informs being a great writer more than any class on craft. If you read a lot, you just have, I think, an innate sense of what works.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Keep reading. Well, that's it. You survived the lightning round. Good for you.
Okay.
You win a podcast for life.
Yeah.
You managed to stump me, though.
Yes.
That's good. Such great stuff, you know, all so interesting.
Yeah, very, very good answers.
And as we're just coming to the end, so what is the date that it actually releases?
It releases May 31st.
They can get it on Amazon, anywhere else they can get it? Camille, and tell us the name again so people remember.
It's called The Memory of Us. I know it's on a lot of online platforms, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones. I found it on Waterstones in Britain. I was so excited to see, you know, the pound symbol instead of the dollar symbol next to it. That was exciting. But yeah, it's on a lot of online platforms for orders, paperback or Kindle.
And The Memory of Us by Camille DeMaio. So go look it up and go buy her book, because I have a feeling it's going to be fabulous.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be great. Well, good luck with your book launch. We're very excited to have you on our podcast. Well,
good. This was fun. I was really looking forward to this. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. This has been Blondie in the Brit. Please join us next week where we welcome back Rachel Thompson from Bad Redhead Media. She was on a few weeks ago with a great podcast on social media marketing for authors. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.